Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Tonight I wanted to talk to you just about something that I have gone through in my own personal life over and over again. Tonight I want to talk to you, the title of the message this evening is Qualified by Christ. Because I know in my own life, there have been times where I feel like, man, I'm not adequate. I don't reach the par. I'm not good enough. Or maybe it's because of my age that I can't do what God has asked me to do. Or because of the decisions that I've made in my life. Or maybe even the hang-ups that I, as a human being, deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I know that I've dealt with in my own life some things that I felt like, God, why me? Why would you choose me? And you know, I'm willing to go as far as to say that I think that each and every one of us in this place have at some form or fashion, at some point in our life, felt that way. That we're inadequate, that we're not who God has called us to be, that we haven't lived up to the expectations that God has set before us, or maybe that we have a speech impediment, or maybe it is that there's a certain hang-up that we're dealing with, or whatever it might be. I feel like each and every one of us could say in this place, you know, I've gone through that before. Even maybe it's come to the point where you've been blessed or something and by God, and you say, you know, I don't even know why this is happening to me. I don't deserve this. Or in our service, I can't reach out to that person. Or I don't feel comfortable enough to step out of my zone and talk to that person. Or how about this, the good old standby, I'm just not good enough. I think we've all been there at some point in our lives where we look and we view ourselves as how we feel we are. We get caught up in our own lives as how we think we are based on our own lives. After all, nobody knows us like us. I think we could probably say we've all told somebody in a family fight or a friend fight, you don't know me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You kind of chuckle because you're like, I was there today. So we get caught up in this perspective or this perception of how we are based on the life that we live. And because of that perception, because of that perspective, we place upon ourselves this burden of the fact that we're not qualified, that we're not good enough, that we're not somebody that God can use. Well, I see that guy up there on the stage, or even in my own case, well, I see that guy who's nationally known or internationally known. God has given him these amazing messages in these books, and then there's me. God, why? I can never be like them, or I can never live up to this expectation. But, you know, I want to today look at, like that video said, the march of the unqualified. I want to look at what the Bible says about that, because the truth of the matter is that how we view ourselves is not how God views us. And we have got to either choose to get into alignment with our own emotions, our own feelings, how we see ourselves, or choose to get into alignment with how God views us, and in doing so, living up to the expectations that are placed upon us, or you could even say it like this, fulfilling the calling that God has given to us today. I think one of the greatest testimonies of the condition that you and I live in, this feeling of not always measuring up, is the fact that the Bible is chock full of people that were unqualified, unfit for the duties that God had assigned them to do. We saw that in the video about Abraham being too old, Moses, you know, not being good with his speech, about David being a man that was, man, David was up and down. David was in and out. Solomon was a man who was full of the wisdom of God, but just absolutely lacks in his personal life. Guys like Peter who cut off the ear of the guard in the Garden of Gethsemane. Disciples like James and John who are arguing it, who's going to sit closest to Jesus in heaven. People like Paul who are short on their fuse, or even living a life of a terrorist. But you see, the truth is that God is in the business of taking imperfect people and revealing his goodness and his plan from that. We see this in the Bible, and I'll reiterate this at the end of the message today, that God is in the business of taking us in our imperfections, in our unqualified lives, and saying, hey, it's because you're not qualified, you're qualified. God told Gideon when he had the army of 32,000 soldiers to stand up to the Midianites. He says, Gideon, you've got too many. You've got too many soldiers. Why? Because you might think that you do this on your own power. So God reduced the number of the soldiers from 32,000 to 300 so that there was no question that it was the power of God that came through for the children of Israel. And so much so like us in our own lives that God says, listen, I understand where you're coming from. You're not qualified based on your talents or your abilities. You're qualified based on my perception of you and what I've done for you. And today I want to look at that. I want to look at some things. If you've got your Bibles, I want to just go to the book of Exodus. We're going to play around a little bit in the Old Testament. I think if there's a story of somebody who was unqualified or who felt like they were unqualified, somebody that you and I could relate to, it's Moses. Moses was a guy that, he was a patriarch of the Old Testament, accredited for writing the first few books that you and I know as the Bible. If you don't know the story of Moses, it goes simply like this. The children of Israel, or the Hebrews, are living in captivity in Egypt. Pharaoh has placed, because he had heard word of a redeemer, that he put an edict out there that all of the male children were to be killed, and Moses' mother couldn't do that to her new baby, so she made a little wicker basket and covered it in tar and put him in the Nile and floated Moses down the Nile. And just by happenstance, not really, Moses found Pharaoh's daughter, found Moses, and raised him as her own son. Just so happens, by happenstance, not really, that somebody knew that Moses' mother was able to nurse Moses as a baby, so Moses' mother got to raise Moses as his nurse. God's hand was all over it. Moses finds out about his past. He finds out about who he is. Moses commits murder against an Egyptian soldier who is harassing the Hebrews, and Moses is running for his life because he's got a death sentence on him, and he finds himself in the wilderness. He marries a man by the name of Jethro's daughter. He's now a sheep herder. He's now a shepherd in the wilderness. And it's been some 40 years that Moses has been in the wilderness. And the Bible, we see in Exodus, beginning in the third chapter where we look tonight, that Moses was out there tending to his father-in-law's flock. And the Bible says that Moses was out there in the wilderness tending to his father-in-law Jethro's flock when all of a sudden God comes down and he consumes this bush near Moses. And this bush is consumed in fire, yet the fire does not burn away the bush. The bush is burning but not consumed or not withered away. And so the Bible says that Moses says to himself, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and check out the bush. Kind of interesting that the Bible actually tells us that Moses told himself, I'm going to go look at this bush. And it's here at this bush that God speaks to Moses, and God says to Moses, Moses, I am the Lord Almighty. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Don't approach. Moses, the Bible says, he hid his face, and God says, Moses, I have heard the cry of your people, the Hebrews. And today, I am going to send you to Pharaoh. And so God lays out the plan for redemption of the Hebrews. And something that you and I can relate to is that God says to Moses, Moses, I'm going to use you. We see here in this conversation between Moses and between God Almighty that five times Moses presents an argument to God as to why he's not the man for the job. And so today I'm just going to look through. We're going to go through Exodus, the third chapter, and look through these five arguments, what we see in the third and the fourth chapter in this conversation between God and Moses at the burning bush, and how that they can relate to you and I, and what that means and what we can learn from those today. So let's look at these five arguments that we see here. And beginning in Exodus in the third chapter, verse number 11, it says, let me just read to you verse number 10. This is the calling. It's not on the overhead. That's why you bring your Bible. So if you've got your Bible, turn there or get on your phone and go to Bible Gateway or something like that as well. Get into the Bible. Verse number 10 of the third chapter, it says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now here we see the very first argument from Moses to God. In verse number 11 of the third chapter, it says, but Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So God says to Moses, Moses, I'm calling you. You're going to do a great job. You're going to go down in history. And Moses' first response to God is, who am I? You can say it like this. Moses says, what is my position? Who am I to go to Pharaoh? Do you not realize that there is a death sentence on me, that there is a warrant out for my arrest in Egypt. I have no position. I have no authority. I've been in the desert for 40 years watching sheep. I've lived a whole different life. That's behind me. And so Moses says to God, what is my position, God? Immediately God's answer to Moses is that I will certainly be with you. So as God says in verse number 12, that I will be with you, Moses. Moses says again in verse number 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, who is his name? What shall I say to them? Moses is saying, God, I don't even know what to say to these people. I'm just going to show up and roll up to Egypt and be like, hey, your God sent me to deliver you. God, what happens when they ask me, who's our God? What's his name? Do you know him? Moses, I don't even know what to say. But God says, Moses, I will tell you. Moses, tell them that I am that I am. That's my name. He says, Moses, tell them that I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses, tell them that I have heard their cries and that I am going to use you to free them, to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a land that their fathers had been promised. Now it is time for them to possess their land. And God says, Moses, I will give you the words to speak, after Moses' second argument. So after God describes this, you can go on and let's look now. And in the fourth chapter, God gives him this thing. And God even tells Moses to the extent, God, Moses, tell them that they're not just going to leave Egypt and start anew, but they're going to go to every house in Egypt and they're going to get the gold and they're going to get the silver and they're going to get the wealth and the riches and the clothes. And God literally says they will plunder Egypt and leave. They are going to leave rich and wealthy and start the life that I have promised to them. God has given Moses everything, you see, but Moses is still insecure, unqualified in his own mind. So again, now here we see in verse number 1 of the fourth chapter, Moses' third argument. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they won't believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Moses is saying, God, what if they won't listen to me? Then what? God says, Moses, I'm a God of power. I'm a God of signs. And he asks Moses, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Moses looks in his hand. A rod, a stick. God says, Moses, throw it on the ground. Moses throws the rod on the ground. Psh, becomes a snake. All right, you know, Moses is kind of like, okay, wait a minute. I'm standing in a bush that is not being burnt up but is on fire. I had to take my shoes off. And now I'm standing. My stick just became a snake, okay? Sign, right? God says, Moses, pick up the snake by the tail. All right. Moses picks up the stake, becomes his rod again. God says, I'll give you signs. But God says, I'm not done yet, Moses. Moses, stick your hand in your jacket. So, you know, Moses is there. He's got his cloak. God says, Moses, just put your hand in your jacket. So Moses sticks his hand in his jacket, comes out. The Bible says that it's white with as snow as with leprosy. His hand is a leprous hand, literally diseased and deformed and covered in the disease of leprosy. And God says, Moses, put your hand back in your jacket. Moses puts his hand back in and it comes back out brand new. God says, Moses, I'm going to go with you. My power will go alongside of you. They may not listen, but my power, they will see the signs. They will see my power and my promises come to fruition. What you say will come to pass and they will listen. So now Moses has argued, God, who am I? God, what would I say? I don't even know who you are. God, what if they don't listen to me? Now it goes on. In verse number 10 of the fourth chapter, if God displays his power, then Moses says to God in Exodus, the fourth chapter, verse number 10, Moses says to the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before or since you have spoken to your servant. That's kind of a funny statement. God, I'm not eloquent. When I walked up to the burning bush, I was not a good speaker. I have seen the snake on the ground that was once my rod. My hand has been leprous and has been healed, but yet at this very moment, I am still not eloquent. So he goes and he says, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. God's rebuttal to Moses after his fourth argument. Moses, who makes the mute mute? Who makes the deaf deaf? Who makes the blind see? Who made the mouth? Is it not I, God? I will work with your mouth, God says. I will use it and I will teach you what to say. I think about that for a moment. God says, Moses, I'll mentor you. I'll teach you how to be a good communicator. I'll teach you how to get the point across. But yet, Moses says, God, what if they don't listen? Now he says, God, what if I'm not capable? What if I'm not able? What if I'm not physically able to do what you've called me to do? That's Moses' rebuttal to God. And God says, I will make you. And the fifth argument for Moses we see in verse number 13. After God says, I will be with your mouth and I will teach you what to say, Moses says, Oh my Lord, please send by the hand whomever else you may send. Moses says to God, God, isn't there somebody else? Five arguments. Who am I? What is my position? I don't know what to say. What if they won't listen? But God, I'm not physically capable. And finally, Moses, he drops the big one. God, surely there is somebody else. Maybe there was another shepherd that was supposed to be walking by the valley, and I just happened to be there. And finally, the Bible says that God's anger was kindled against Moses, and God says, Moses, listen. You're the guy. Get up, go to Egypt. I'll give you your brother Aaron to speak for you. Quit your belly aching, go. So Moses finally gets it. Okay, all right. So Moses goes and he prepares his household and he begins his journey into Egypt. And that's the story that you and I know of the 10 plagues of Egypt and finally the crossing of the Red Sea. But here's a man that God had called. God had positioned, God said, I have a great plan for your life. And yet five times in this argument, Moses argued with God as to why he was not called. Why? Because Moses saw life how Moses was. But God saw Moses how God intended him to be. And we can relate to Moses. Going beyond the five arguments, think about it like this. Moses was 80 years old. Now, I don't want to offend anybody who's elderly, but 80 years old is highly advanced in age. Most people that I know that are 80 years old are looking to settle down, to kick back a little bit. There's a couple of real go-getters I know, man, and I tell you, they're my heroes. Moses is 80. Okay, on top of Moses' age, Moses has a warrant out for his arrest in Egypt. His stepbrother, the Pharaoh now, wants to kill him. Okay, Moses has been gone for 40. It's not like Moses was out of Egypt for 2 weeks. Moses has been gone for 40 years. 40, that's a lifetime. That means that Moses has been completely disconnected from what's going on. He's in the wilderness. He's got a wife. He's got kids. He's got a father-in-law. He's a shepherd. So Moses has all of these things that would disqualify him for the work of God, but yet God says, no, I have a plan. And I think so much so that you and I can relate to Moses because we feel these arguments to Moses are so relatable to our own lives. And so today I want to look at these things. I want to look at these rebuttals from Moses as lessons for us and how we can follow God's leading for our life and realize that we don't see life as how we are, but we begin to see our lives as how God has qualified us to be by looking at these arguments of what Moses said. And God directly answered each one of Moses' arguments, but now let's look at the New Testament answer to these arguments of our lives, of our qualifications, and learning from Moses. these five rebuttals, these five questions that Moses asked that we often ask of ourselves. What can we do to learn what these are so that we can see our qualifications? Moses' first question, or his first rebuttal, his first argument to God was, who am I? The question of, what is my position? The answer for you and I is in Jesus. Amen. What is my position? In Jesus. Who am I? A child of God. What right do I have to do anything in the name of God? The right of the fact that you and I have been adopted into the body of Christ, and now we have been given position. My little son, three-year-old Bjorn, oh, dude, he's at the funnest age right now. 3 years old is just a blast. Bjorn has an obsession with Baba's office. Just so happens that he goes to school here. He goes to church here. That's a good sign. So he's here a lot. And as we walk to the car, he's always asking, Mom, Dad, can we go to Baba's office? Can we go to Baba's office? Why? Because Baba's office has something that he likes. Chips. He likes those little orange Sun Chips, the cheddar-flavored Sun Chips. I mean, every day as we're walking to the car, can I go to Baba's office? And you know, it's like, you know, as a parent, we're like, Bjorn, listen, man. We can't give you chips every day from Baba's office, all right? Like, once in a while is cool. You know, Baba loves to give you chips and apple juice, but let's go home. Can I go to Baba's office? He has no problem, as does any of the grandchildren, have a problem with walking. They don't walk. Have running into the office, blowing in, grabbing the chip. I mean, the snack bag, as we call it, or the basket, is obliterated when the children. Why? Because they have a position. They know that they're there, that that is their right, because Baba, Pastor Jim, Grandpa has told them, hey, you can have anything you want in my office. So like Moses, when he says to God, who am I? You and I, we say about our lives, about our calling, about God doing something. Well, what can I do? But you see, we are in the body of Christ when we come to believe on Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And therefore, because of that, we have been placed in position with Christ. I'll just throw this up on the overhead for you. Colossians, in the first chapter, Paul the Apostle is reciting his prayer to the church at Colossae. And he says this statement in the 12th verse. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of the light. How are we qualified? The very fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, became our sin and our shame, and now through God, we have been made right standing with God through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That while we were powerless in our strength against sin, Christ was there. We have been made free from the bondages that held us back. And now, in the eyes of God, through Jesus Christ, we are able to do what God has called us to do. You say, well, what do I have to give? You know, part of this question is, well, who am I? What do I have to offer? You have Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, living and dwelling on the inside of your spirit. Do you know that that makes you more valuable than Frodo and a ring? That makes you more valuable than a man in tights and a red cape? That makes you more valuable than a scientist with a cure. Why? Because you have the Savior of the world, of humanity, in your life. What do you have to give? The question is, what do you not have to give? In Jesus, my position is in Christ. Moses' second rebuttal, his second argument to God is, well, what will I say? We say that. God says, go. And we say, "What? I don't know what to say. We say what Jesus says. What do I say? We say what Jesus says. We say what Jesus says. Paul the Apostle says, the gospel that we preach, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ. Why? Because this isn't some philosophy. This isn't some trickery. This is not, listen, Jesus Christ did not come to start another religion. Jesus Christ came to save the world. Therefore, the things that Jesus Christ said, as he even said himself, are life and truth and are given by the divine Spirit of God. So what do we say? What Jesus said. Last night I had two bad dreams. Don't you hate it when you have bad dreams? And then don't you hate it when you have this bad dream twice? Last night I had two bad dreams. I call them the preacher's nightmares. You know what a preacher's nightmare is? It was time to go up and preach and I had nothing to say. Not a thing. It was weird. It was like one was in a movie theater and one was in a Broadway theater. I just remember that. And I got up and I was like, turn to Matthew 5? Okay. But just like God said to Moses, I'll give you the words to say. God says to you and I, hey, I'll give you the words to say. As a matter of fact, Jesus in Acts the first chapter, verse number 8, in the commissioning statement in the book of Acts, Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Witnesses to me. Witnesses not to yourself. Witnesses not to your own ability. Witnesses not to your own qualifications. You shall be witnesses to me. Why? Because I qualified you. And I love how he says this, to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. You know what that means? Everywhere we will be witnesses. God has given us and will give us the great word, the words to say. Jesus in his commissioning statement in Matthew, the 28th chapter, he says, go and baptize them, making disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Jesus says, I've already told you everything. Now all you got to do is repeat it. The message has already been preached. All you got to do is read it. We worry so much about what will I say. The third argument that Moses had was, well, God, what if they don't listen? God, what if they don't listen? When God says to us, go, do something. Here's your calling. Here's your mission. And we say, God, what if they don't listen to me? Speak anyways. Speak anyways. Even if they don't listen, you speak. The Bible says if anything, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you're preaching the word of God to somebody and they're not listening to you, you're hearing it. You know, there's a certain quality. It's a rare quality. Well, it's not a rare quality. It's rare when it is a quality. Have you ever met somebody that just loves to hear themselves talk? I remember Pastor Dan, Pastor Jim, and I, we were on a conference call one time, and it was one of those conference calls where you call a number, they call a number, and it's hosted by like a third party. And we were talking, and this guy just, once he started going, we just all kind of sat back and were like, okay, this guy told us, okay, I was born on this day, and let me give you my life. And it just so happens that the phone call cut out. Like, our phone hung up. But because it was a third party, he was still on the line. So we got the number, we called the number, dialed in the little, like, passcode to get back into the call. And he was still talking. Didn't even know we were gone. Just telling his story. We couldn't help but just to laugh. Like, this guy literally was just talking to air. Didn't even know, hey, are you with me? You know what I'm talking about? Just was going, going, going. The quality in that is, you know what, man? He was just talking, and that's you and I. What if they won't listen? You know what? We'll talk it anyways. What if they won't hear me? We'll say it anyways. Because that's what we have been called to do. That's what we've been called to do. Jesus says he's commissioning his disciples in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew, in the 10th chapter, he sends his disciples out and he says, listen, you go into a town, you find whoever's worthy, you stay at their house, and you tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You tell them the words that I've told you. And in Matthew, the 10th chapter, just go ahead and put it up, guys. He says, listen, and whoever doesn't receive nor hear your words, when you depart from that city, shake the dust from your feet. Because ultimately, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. But we're so afraid of rejection. Well, what if they don't listen to me? You do your part. You plant the seed and you don't know what will reap later on. But do something. Do something. The fourth argument that Moses had. What if I'm not capable? Okay, he says, God, I can't speak. I'm not a good talker. And we say, well, God, what if I'm physically just not able? What if I can't do this? What if I'm not capable? Moses' argument. Let me give you the result of that. Your ability is in Christ. Your ability is in Christ. Let's say it like this. Your capability is in Christ, which means the potential that you can reach is not based on your own power, based on your own ability. The potential that you have to do something for the kingdom of God is based upon Jesus Christ. We are based on Christ. Therefore, what we are capable of doing is not based on our own abilities, but on Jesus. That's why we say, I'm not good enough. None of us are. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ came. We're qualified by Christ. I remember the first time some of you know that I do woodworking. And we put floors in our house 2 years ago. I'm a DIY guy. Right? So it's like always like I gotta do it myself. I put floors in my house 2 years ago. But we didn't have baseboards for like the whole time. So we like got embarrassed and we never invited anybody over. And then we had appraisal. We were refinancing our house and the appraiser had to come and we asked the appraiser, like, hey, would baseboards make a difference on the value of our house? And, you know, it wouldn't hurt. So I shimmied him out in like a day. I had waited 2 years because I had done baseboards and crown molding at my previous house, and I about lost my salvation over it. Particularly the method of, it's called coping. I don't want to get into the details of it, but it angles and miters, and I didn't want to think about it. So I put it off, and finally it was down to the wire, and I did it, and I told my wife at the end of the baseboards, I did it in 2 days. I told her, I said, man, that was easy, and it was fun. I had realized that I had gotten better because of my skills. You see, we give ourselves this discredit of saying, I'm not good enough. But you see, when Jesus Christ comes, when the power of Christ comes upon us, all of a sudden, we get better. We can speak. We can do. We can endure. We can go through things that we couldn't normally go through. Why? Because it's not on our capability. It's now on Christ. Paul the Apostle, he's talking about the thorn in the flesh. We've seen this verse so many times in verse number 9 of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Paul says this, he says, Jesus is saying to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's an amazing statement. But I love this. Paul says, therefore I would most gladly boast in my infirmities. Why would he boast in his infirmities? That the power of Christ might rest upon me. We say, God, what if I'm not capable? What if I'm not able to do what you've assigned me to do? Think about the missionaries that have gone around the world, men like we've seen over the past couple of weeks in the month of October, men like Reinhard Bonnke or Keith Hershey or Mike Keyes or even our own Pastor Paul or Paul DeYoung, any of these men that we heard from. What if they said, God, I'm not capable to minister to Africa? God, I'm not capable of founding the largest church in the history of New Zealand. God, I'm not capable of pastoring Iglesia La Roca and figuring out how to do a Spanish and an English church at the same time. God, I'm not capable. God says, you're not capable. But Jesus with you means you are capable because the power of Christ rests upon me. And the last argument that Moses had that we can learn is Moses says to God, God, isn't there somebody else? God, isn't there just somebody that's better? Somebody that's more qualified? Somebody that's more capable? Somebody that's better at doing this? Somebody that's more studied, more prepared? God, there's got to be somebody else. The answer is, it's your calling. It's your calling. I have it. They didn't see that. I underline that. It's your calling. Say to your neighbor, it's my calling. This is yours. Your life is yours. God has you here for a purpose. You're not here to float around like a feather in Forrest Gump. Life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Sitting on a bus stop telling everybody and just so by happen. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And the calling that you have is your calling. The calling that I have is my calling. So when we say, God, is there somebody else? God says, you know, the ultimate reality is I'll get my job done. But I had you to do it. Remember Jesus' prayer? Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How about this? When Jesus was in the garden before he was going to his crucifixion, he says, God, if there's any opportunity for this cup to pass by me, that would be great. But nevertheless, your will, not mine, be done. Each and every one of us has a calling, a gifting from God, and God is saying, I have purposed you to do something with it. You say, Pastor Luke, man, I have missed it. I have gone beyond. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know. Moses was 80, and God called him. Abraham was beyond, and God called him. Timothy, like we saw, was too young, but God called him. Are you breathing? Does your heart beat? Then it's not too late. It's your calling, your life. Paul exhorts the church at Ephesus in Ephesians. He says, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you, walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, chosen, purposed. Don't miss out on what God has because you were afraid. God will be with you. Back in the 1970s, Steve Wozniak, they call him the Woz, worked for HP, Hewlett-Packard, designing engineering calculators. In his spare time, he created a PC that would later become the Apple I computer. Five times the Woz begged HP to build his PC, which was then led by John Young, and they said no. Steve eventually left HP to start a company in his garage with his friend, Steve Jobs, that developed Apple Computer, which is now the most valuable company on the planet. Don't miss your opportunity because you were afraid. God, what if? What if? God, I'm not, I can't. God says, listen, you've got Christ. What else do you need? You've got Jesus. That's why Jesus told his disciples, don't take money. Don't take clothes. Don't take extra pair of shoes. Go. Why? Because you've got me. That's all you need. Church, when we realize that we are qualified not by our capabilities, but by Jesus Christ, then we begin to realize the potential that we can live in our lives and to fulfill the calling of God in our lives. God uses the unqualified to demonstrate his redemptive power in us so that we never think that we did it by ourselves. God uses the unqualified to demonstrate his redemptive power in us so that we don't ever think it was by us, by ourselves. God has called us, qualified us. So now that we know the answers to the questions, and when we feel like coming up with a reason as to why we can't do what God has asked us to do, to follow the commands, or whenever we feel inadequate or unable to do what God has assigned us to do, now we can look at these arguments that Moses said, and as we think those in our own head, but God, now we can see that God will give us the words, that we are given the position, that God will work with us, that our capability is in Christ, that we have a design and a purpose set by God, and we are qualified by Christ. And I want to take you to 2 Corinthians in the third chapter, verse number 5. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. I think it's a really neat verse. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and we'll finish on this. Verse number 5. It's not that we think we're qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us. He has enabled us, empowered, given us everything we need to be ministers of his new covenant. This is not a covenant of written laws, but of spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the spirit gives life. through Jesus Christ, through his redemption of humanity, now we see, now God views us as his righteousness. What is true of Christ when we are in Christ is now true of us. You didn't get that one. What is true of Christ? Did he raise from the dead? Did he have all the power? Did he conquer sin? What is true of Christ, because we are in Christ, is now true of us. God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the called. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Did you guys get something out of the Word of God tonight?
Amen. Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.